On this episode of the Colts Corner Podcast, the boys will discuss NFL Week 10, Week 11, the NBA Draft, and Topic of the Week. Colts Corner, Season 5, Episode 4, I believe. I hope it's
four
Episode
and a half
4 now.
At this point.
4.5 at this point. Constantine Lambridis alongside my colleagues, Christian, the fun-size freight train Selmayr, and Matthew, noted Nets fan, Pastier.
Constantine is going to be talking about a lost bet.
Yeah.
Yes,
we're
going to start that off.
Yeah, I will be talking about a lost bet. Had to wear a Nets jersey today, unfortunately.
Kyrie specifically.
If you don't know, Constantine is a Knicks fan and having to wear the jersey.
And any fan wearing the opposing team's garb, it's a very degrading experience. Don't recommend, 0 stars
out of 5.
Maybe
the Knicks will be a big team in New York someday.
Yeah, maybe.
Speaking of NBA basketball, let's start off with that. Since, unfortunately, last week, due to some technical difficulties, we were not able to upload a podcast successfully. And there's been a lot of developments. There's been the NBA draft, the start of NBA trading. So, first off, you guys want to talk about James Harden and the rumors that are going on about him?
Well, he's coming to the Nets. I give you the Joe Namath guarantee.
I think it's probably a done deal unless the 76ers really pull something through here with
they're not giving up
this
Simmons.
One. But honestly, they're not going to give up Simmons. I don't think they really want to do that. The Nets obviously have a lot of young players who are expendable at this point. If they
very talented,
very
young
talented young players. Excuse me.
Unlike Dennis Smith Jr.
Expendable at this point. The Knicks unfortunately only have Dennis Smith Jr., Frank Ntilikina, and Kevin Knox, who are young players who are expendable at this point. So the Nets probably going to get James Harden. It won't be the Knicks. Right now, a package for James Harden could include Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, and a couple first-round picks. What deal would the Houston Rockets have to see to get this done, potentially?
I don't know why. I personally, Harden wants out. He wants to go bye-bye. He's been pretty clear about that. And Brooklyn has Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, all very young players, rising stars in the league, and they would probably get a bunch of first-round picks. I don't know how you decline that. I know James Harden's a top-five NBA player, but he clearly doesn't want to play, and you're not really now, especially.
And it's not really working in Houston. They haven't won anything. They've gotten close a bunch of times.
And Westbrook's declining still.
They've given James Harden They've given him Dwight Howard, they've given him Chris Paul, and now they've given him Russell Westbrook most recently, and none of it's worked.
D'Antoni was the coach
for that team.
Not anymore, though. He's an assistant coach for the Brooklyn Nets now.
I just want to say, if you think the Rockets trade Harden, what do you think is Westbrook's fate? Do you think he's going to also be traded if they trade Harden?
Yeah, then
and they're
going
to go into full rebuilding mode, or they're going to keep one star
traded,
to help develop the young players, even though he's just going
to... If you keep Westbrook to help develop
Covington.
The young players, you must not know who Russell Westbrook is. Guy's been a detriment to every team that he's gone on. Yes, he's put up the stats.
Okay, rookies, this is what you don't do. Proceeds to shoot 8 bricks from 3 that only hit the backboard.
Yeah, he's not...
Westbrook almost sold in the first series of the Rockets.
Yeah, Russ has done nothing but sell for the Houston Rockets. I think at this point you have to trade him. Even if he's on the clearance rack, you have to trade
Russell
Westbrook.
Yeah, he's doing nothing.
Right
if they're
now.
Rebuilding, he's literally the opposite of a player you want on a rebuilding team.
Huge contract.
Around young players.
What the Thunder did last year when they were anticipating a rebuilding year, but then eventually made it to the playoffs, they picked a guy. They traded Russell Westbrook for a guy like Chris Paul to help develop the young players. And that was the absolute most perfect thing that they could have possibly done. Chris Paul is a very unselfish player. He's a leader. Although he hasn't won a lot in the playoffs, he knows how to win basketball games. Yeah, he bears a striking resemblance to Kyrie Irving, definitely. But Chris Paul, one of the best point guards of all time. OKC brought in one of the better point guards, Chris Paul. Into their organization, and he developed a bunch of their young guys that they got. Now they have a bunch of first-round picks to build their next dynasty. 17, 18, something like that.
Until 2027. So they have a lot of, you know, room. They know that the Thunder, obviously, they have a lot of picks in the next couple of years. Interesting to see how that pans out. But another thing I want to talk about, in Brooklyn, let's say James Harden does make his way to the Nets. How do you think that offense is going to work? Kyrie, KD, and James Harden, all being somewhat ball-dominant players.
I mean, KD played with Curry and Klay.
That is true. And Kyrie did play with LeBron.
Kyrie's learned how to play with LeBron.
Harden's system just allowed for him to do that. If he's in a new system, it'd be totally different.
I think that they're all players who, like, thrive when they...
Way too talented to fail.
They're all talented, and they thrive the best when they're the only player who's really doing anything important with the ball. But I definitely think they can fit in a system, especially Kevin Durant. I think he's a really versatile player. And I think people they think he's some sort of, like, ball hog. The offense needs to run around him. No, he can
step back.
Yeah, he can take a step back.
Yeah, people don't give Kevin Durant enough credit for the stuff that he's done over his career. Yes, Kevin Durant is a snake, and yes, he did join the Golden State Warriors to get a couple championships, thereby discrediting most of his legacy, but not all of it. He's still the greatest scorer of this generation, 100%. And just the greatest pure scorer of this generation. He knows how to succeed when he has other all-stars around him. I mean, look at what he did with the Warriors. There should be no difference with James Harden and
Kyrie Irving.
So they're championship or bust, and I think they're going to go win the championship.
Yeah. Well, they're going to try to win a championship. Obviously, there is some competition in the East. That Jimmy Butler and the Heat, you know, potentially after the season, Giannis might even be going to them. And now you still have Giannis and the Bucks. That's going to be a formidable team that's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, no Bogdan. That trade did fall through.
Yeah, it fell through.
Unfortunately.
Drew Holiday. They gave up their entire future for Drew Holiday.
They really are banking on the fact that Giannis is going to stay on the team because they traded 5 first-round picks for Drew Holiday. Look,
and
Drew Holiday.
Traded, what's his name? Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, and Eric Bledsoe. Look, Drew Holiday.
He's a great point guard. Especially if you have a good big man, a good star to pair him with, like he had with Anthony Davis. And now with Giannis.
Or do we call him AD?
Yeah. Drew Holiday, definitely one of the better players in the league, but
the best.
5 first-round picks, they're really mortgaging their future. They could end up like the Nets did when Billy King traded a couple of their first-round.
They still rebuilt faster than the Knicks.
Well, we don't talk about that. But moving forward, Chris Paul was traded to the Phoenix Suns for Ricky Rubio, Kelly Oubre, and a couple other pieces, draft compensation.
Kelly Oubre Sr. is not in the league.
The Phoenix Suns are now looking pretty stacked with Chris Paul. Does this entice Devin Booker to stay, or does he leave? And what would it take for Devin Booker to stay on that team?
I don't know if he would stay, because if he can go into the T-Wolves and play with Cat and D'Lo.
Now
and
Anthony Edwards.
That would be kind of funny.
And possibly LeBron.
Wait, LeBron said, wait, what?
I'm just
talking. I don't think LeBron wants to go. I don't think LeBron's packing up.
LeBron, you're listening right now. What are your thoughts on joining the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Yeah, I did see that. I'm sorry?
LeBron, you're listening right now. What are your thoughts on joining the Timberwolves? Please let us know in the comments.
It's all about getting another one for the land.
The land's Minnesota now.
Yeah. But what do you think is one team that you think people are sleeping on right now that is really going to have a breakout season next season?
The Knicks.
What do you think is Brooklyn?
No.
Or what's one team that you think is going to do a lot better than people are saying they are?
That's a tough one. I think every team is pretty set.
The Hawks, if they can get the pieces.
Yeah, right now the Hawks.
They're looking to get a bunch of people right now.
Yeah, they right
including
now.
Including Joe Harris. Yeah. But Joe Harris might.
I think he's going to stay with the Nets. I think Joe Harris wants to stay with the Nets. But I think you're right about the Hawks with your assessment of that team. Trae Young is probably going to be an MVP candidate next year and for the next maybe even 10 years to come. They just drafted a big man on Onyeka Okongwu. I don't know how he's going to fit in the system. I assume they were looking to pick Isaac Okoro, considering their small forward shooting guard lineup isn't completely set. But Okongwu is a good defensive presence. He's a very good scorer in the post. He can back down anyone, and he's very refined in his technique. So I think he should be an interesting pairing with Trae Young. The spacing probably won't be the best with him and John Collins and Clint Capella all sharing that room in the front court, but he's too smart of a player, too good of a player to not figure it out. And I think he can learn a lot from those guys up there.
I also think DeAndre Hunter will step up this year.
Yeah. He had a decent season last year, nothing to write home about, but definitely wasn't as bad as like Jarrett Culver or some of the other rookies. Cam Reddish, who had a very abysmal season. But DeAndre Hunter had a really good balance of offensive attributes, and I think this year he's really going to step up. Myself. Yeah.
Not as good.
So we talked about free agency. Now I think it's time that we do talk about last night's draft. Obviously, there
was... Well, first, our audience has to know the lore first.
We should talk about the 8th pick.
What's the lore?
Had to come to school wearing a Nets jersey.
Me and Constantine, chilling on PlayStation, you know. Playing 2K.
With our good friend Gavin Shockett. Shout out Gavin Shockett.
And our not-so-good friend Sam Mendelsohn. Shout out Sam Mendelsohn. So, Constantine was like... Okay, this is my impression of Constantine. It might get a little...
Offensive.
Political. You know, the Knicks. So that's what he was saying.
For those exactly of you who don't know, Constantine is an avid Knicks fan who does talk about them quite frequently.
And he was like, if the Knicks get Obi Toppin, I'm so done. Literally, I'll wear your Kyrie Irving jersey if they get a match. And I was like, yes, I speak normal because I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan. And then Constantine was like, Obi Toppin. And then now he has to wear the Kyrie jersey for a day. I think that was explained pretty well.
Yeah, I'd say that was a really roller coaster ride of emotions. But yes, I did unfortunately have to wear a Kyrie Irving jersey today.
Because Obi Toppin was taken with the 8th overall pick.
Yeah, with the 8th overall pick by the New York Knicks organization. Personally, there are some things that after I stopped crying and eating Haagen-Dazs, I realized that Obi Toppin isn't the worst player in the draft. But he obviously isn't the best player in the draft. He's got some flaws, most notably his defensive effort and defensive ability. For someone that is so good on the offensive end of the court, so athletic,
old man bones.
Yeah, he's older than Obi-Wan Kenobi was in A New Hope. He's very old. He's older than R.J. Barrett.
That was Matt's joke originally, viewers.
That was Gavin's.
That was somebody.
It was probably from Reddit. It was probably from Reddit. Let's be real. Gavin probably got it from Reddit.
Shout out Gavin Shockett. But
not Sam Mendes.
He's an older player. He doesn't give much effort on defense, and he's very mentally challenged on defensive end of the court. His defensive IQ is not very as high as his offensive IQ. He's very effective on the offensive end, though. He shoots rather well from three for someone that isn't really in his arsenal. Obviously, the thing that everybody knows about him, he's big man. He dunk ball. And his first name is actually Obadiah,
not Obi-Wan.
Not Obi-Wan.
As many would believe. That's
contrary
to popular
belief.
Let's start at the top and work our way down with the draft. Number one from Georgia. Anthony Edwards, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, that was more of one of the...
Good pick.
Yeah, it was a good pick.
I feel like you could replace any of the first three picks. They were kind of like, could have won either way.
Yeah, but Anthony Edwards is a very solid player. He's a good shot creator. He shot, I believe, only 20% from three, which isn't the best. And obviously his defensive effort is comparable to somebody that doesn't want to play defense and can play defense.
Who doesn't love basketball?
If you saw that, Anthony Edwards did say
he
does not like watching basketball, and people have been conflating that with the fact that he doesn't like the sport of basketball or is dedicated to the sport of basketball.
His parents are forcing him to be in the NBA. He doesn't want to be in the NBA.
Yeah, I know. Why would you want to be in the NBA?
Signed him up.
Solid pick.
I do want to talk about Anthony Edwards. He is 6'3", 235.
Very big kid. That is incredible.
Yeah. That is almost as much as the number two pick, who is 7'1". That is insane. He is huge for a 6'3 shooting guard, which I just think is very interesting. That I didn't feel people were talking about his sheer size and mass, which I think that's definitely going to help him out when he can bully smaller guards, which is something that not many guards in the NBA can do. Moving on to number two.
James Wiseman out of Memphis. He only played two or three college games after... he was caught taking money from his coach, Penny Hardaway, former NBA player, actually. He received, I believe,
$1 million.
Something close to that. I believe it was $11,500 for living expenses to move his family to Memphis. This occurred before Hardaway was actually the coach officially of Memphis's basketball team, which is a bit weird, but regardless, the NCAA ruled that he would be suspended for 11 games, and Wiseman decided to forfeit the season to focus on the NBA draft. Regardless, he was picked second overall by the Warriors, who have needed a center since
the Super Team days.
Yeah, the Super
Team
days.
That's always the one position that they've kind of been lacking in.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, at the height of the Warriors, you had Curry at the point, Klay at the two, KD at small forward, Draymond at power forward, and they pretty much rotated throughout their centers. They had Andrew Bogut for a bit.
Yeah, they did have Bogut. They had JaVale McGee for a bit. And who else they had? They had Maurice Spates. They've rotated a couple athletic.
I mean,
like,
they never really needed it. That wasn't like their weakness, is they won two championships, so it's not like, you know, they can do good.
And plus Draymond's taking that defensive role in the front court, so it really
even though he's like
6'4". Even though he's like 6'5", which is all the more impressive. Number three pick was
LaMelo.
Probably one of the most talked about picks.
Yeah.
LaMelo Ball going to the Charlotte Hornets. Michael Jordan appears to have lifted his grudge with LaMelo Ball's father, LeVar, and he selected him with the third overall pick. Bit of a weird pick considering that the Hornets have Terry Rozier and Devontae Graham in the backcourt.
Jordan putting aside his jealousy of the big baller brand. Yeah. You know,
he knows that Jordan brand just can't compete. That's neither here nor there. That was an interesting pick. Obviously, LaMelo Ball, one of the more hype prospects. Is he worth the hype, or is he just a name and a face now?
I'm very interested to see. He is a very somewhat tall guard. He's 6'7". He's a bit of a ball-dominant player. But, I mean, I think that could work in Charlotte. I think if he does become a star, I think he can fit pretty well there. I'm interested to see how he's going to develop in the NBA. Obviously, he's playing in the NBL, averaging around 20 points a game. I think he was in like the top 15 or top 10 in scoring in the NBL. So I'm really excited to see. He's got a great three-point shot. He can dribble. And when he does pass, which is not extremely often, he actually can make some good pass plays. So if he can sit down with his coach and really get familiar with the playbook and understand that not every play is going to revolve around him 100%, I think he can be a great player in the NBA.
Yeah, definitely. So the Chicago Bulls were up next, and they selected Patrick Williams. Bit of a weird pick. Some may say off the boards, as Patrick Williams did not start for FSU's basketball team. He came off the bench, but his potential is very high. The Chicago Bulls apparently liked his shooting potential as a big man, the athleticism that he carries, and his ability to operate out of the post, and some defensive acumen that he showed. But a very solid player, for some a head-scratching pick, but I believe in him. I think that he could really do some damage, and hopefully he shows out for a Chicago team that has actually a couple teams in the a couple guys in the front court. And the fifth pick was held by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Many thought we're gonna pick Obi Toppin, but ended up choosing Isaac Okoro out of Auburn. He's a very solid defensive player, really defensively minded player. He's a bit on the shorter side for a small forward, as he stands at 6'6", not really 6'7", 6'8". Most small forwards measure at that height. But he makes up for it by being able to guard positions from the point guard all the way to the center. And he should really help the Cavaliers with their defensive issues they've been seeing over the years with guys like Colin Sexton or Darius Garland or even some of their better players. So I think they...
Whatever happened to Colin Sexton?
Yeah, like LeBron James.
Whatever happened to Colin Sexton?
He's slowly going to make...
Colin Sexton, he's kind of fallen into irrelevancy over these past couple years since he was drafted.
Stop.
I feel like
no, you're joking. You're joking. No, not Colin Sexton.
I feel like he really hasn't been showing out too much. I wanted the Knicks to draft him. He's been a good, reliable point scorer, but he just hasn't been passing. His defensive ability is nothing to brag about.
Nothing to write home about, say in Madden.
Nothing to write home about. And neither is Darius Garland, who was voted the least efficient player in the NBA last year in his rookie campaign.
Least likely to succeed in the Your book.
Sixth, we mentioned Onyeka Okongwu out of USC. He actually played with LaMelo Ball in high school, winning a national championship with all three Ball brothers. So that is one of the more notable pieces of his resume. He apparently had a foot injury before the draft, but it looks like the Atlanta Hawks were not scared by that.
I think LaMelo is also coming off a foot injury as well.
Yeah.
Fairly recently.
And teams can't really do too many medical checks because of the virus, which is really unfortunate for all these teams that are looking to find info on these guys that they may even want to build their franchise around. They figure out that they have some undiagnosed injuries or some injuries that haven't been treated as well.
Number seven, the Pistons.
Pick, the Pistons, they selected Killian Hayes, I believe. Killian Hayes played in Germany, and he was ranked lower than Tyrese Haliburton, but actually went before the Iowa State product. Killian Hayes averaged, I believe, 12 points a game around there, playing in the German league for Radio Farm Ulm. I really hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm not a big fan of German basketball, but I'm a big fan of Killian Hayes. I thought that the Knicks were going to potentially have him on their radar for this draft, but unfortunately he was picked before and other circumstances beyond my control. Hayes is a good passer, and he's a decent shooter from mid-range. He's really worked on his step back and his floater as well. And we, me as a Knicks fan, I think a lot of other Knicks fans really excited for him potentially joining the Knicks because they need a point guard, but they ended up going with Toppin. And I believe Killian Hayes, yeah, which is disgusting. And I believe Killian Hayes.
Oh, I said we already discussed.
Oh,
Obi
we already
Toppin.
Discussed him. Oh, well,
him.
I don't.
Just adding.
I just had to get that out of my system. But Killian Hayes should be a solid player. A good.
He should. Killian.
Yeah, he's got. He's got good. He's got good vision, and I really hope that he succeeds on a Pistons team that is just entering what should be a long and more painful rebuild.
Blake Griffin on there for good measure.
Is yeah, Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin is still on the Pistons somehow.
He is still alive, viewers.
When are they
going to
trade him?
Alive.
I don't know.
I hope
they trade him
they
sometime.
They traded Drummond already.
To the Cavaliers, who accepted his player option, by the way.
How can you not, though? It's
$28 million.
I think we've covered the NBA pretty much. Yeah. I think we've covered the draft.
Actually.
Trading, but just kind of seeing a soundbite.
I do have a soundbite from a Obi Toppin analysis from, I believe... one of the worst takes that I've heard, comparing him to Zion Williamson and some other talk about the Brooklyn Nets. So I think I just wanted your
Brooklyn Nets.
I just wanted your opinion on this one because
trade for them.
It is Landry one of the more interesting takes I've heard.
That was a really interesting
overall
take.
Pick. He is headed to the Knicks. Let's bring back in Gary Parrish to get his grade. Gary, I'm going to assume this is an A and A plus for you. What do you say?
A plus. Highest grade I could possibly give. Like, you know, during basketball season, I spent a lot of time in New York and around New Yorkers who are Knicks fans. And they so desperately want something to be excited about in that market. And I know that Brooklyn has real star power now with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. But Brooklyn is across the river. Midtown Manhattan is a different deal. And to have Obi Toppin in Midtown Manhattan at the Garden is just awesome. I do not think he should have dropped this far. I don't like that he dropped this far. But I do love that he's going to be a New York Knicks.
All right, Avery said that he could potentially be Rookie of the Year. His comp. His comparison is Zion Williamson, according to a lot of our
Hassian, this is a sports podcast, not a comedy podcast.
He said
Brooklyn's on the other side.
A lot to unpack there. Comparing him to Zion Williamson, I don't think is too much of a fair comparison. I think that
A plus.
Yeah, A plus. Honestly, he's good. That's all I'm gonna say. He's good. He's not a Zion Williamson type player. He's 40. If he was remotely close to Zion Williamson, he would be picked first overall.
He's going remote?
But I guess.
No, did you not hear the new COVID guidelines?
I guess
he's going
not.
Full remote. He's purple.
All right. I think that pretty much does it for the NBA. I think now we're going to have to move on to
quick NFL news.
Quick NFL news. Giants. Two wins in a row.
The New York Football Giants have beat the Eagles for the first time since 2016. The only remaining player on the roster from last time they beat the Eagles is Sterling Shepard.
Wow,
says a lot about society.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
A lot about
I think
Sterling
so.
Shepard as a person, very resilient.
I love Sterling Shepard.
I love Sterling Shepard. You think him and Darius Slayton never like go out to lunch sometimes?
In that game, Daniel Jones tossed for 244 yards.
A 30-yard rushing touchdown. 34-yard
rushing
touchdown.
34-yard
rushing
zero
touchdown.
Turnovers.
Zero turnovers, but also zero throwing touchdown. So,
yeah, because he put him in position to get the rushing touchdowns from the one-yard line
with
Wayne Gallman.
Wayne Gallman.
This kid.
The Gallman Express, 53 yards, two touchdowns for Wayne Gallman.
How sad, Sammy.
Stop. The New York Jets did not play, thankfully, and did not lose for the first time since week one.
2016.
Yeah, it's been a tough, how long has it been? 50 years for the New York Jets. The New York Jets, though, have a chance to win against the 2-7 Los Angeles Chargers and Justin Herbert, who recently got a haircut, which was front page news for some reason. And
in his defense, it was a really funny haircut.
It is a pretty funny haircut. The guy had great flow, amazing style. Yeah, he cut off.
He was a pretty person. He's muy bonita.
but he cut off his
that
hair.
That means ugly.
I'm not a fan of the cut from Justin Herbert, but that's neither here nor there. We're talking about his on-field play. He's been very good for the Chargers as of late. Unfortunately, they can't hold on to leads, so they are 2-7 at the moment.
They've lost all games by 7, right?
Yeah, like, I don't think they've lost a game by more than one
score. So the
Jets
should get destroyed.
Yeah, something like that. And the New York Giants.
The New York Football Giants.
The New York Football Giants, I believe. Are they playing this week?
They are
not
by week.
Not
then we
week.
Come back against Cincinnati. We'll be getting O'Shane Ximenez back, Ryan Lewis back, Xavier McKinney back for the first time, and
Saquon Barkley emerges from the hospital bed
and
on one leg.
Mr. Irrelevant's coming back. Won't beat us to beat the Washington Football Team.
Some interesting games to highlight this week. The Tennessee Titans and Baltimore Ravens, a matchup from the divisional round last
year.
That's
a huge game.
That is a very huge game. Both are 6-3.
Both are Ravens are not going to win their division most likely.
Yeah,
Lamar Jackson looking to reverse that pretty embarrassing loss. He did. I mean, truth, a lot of his receivers did drop the ball in that game.
Some would say pretty embarrassing.
He still didn't play the best in that divisional game against the Titans, so I know he's going to be fired up, wanting to come back and get the win.
Yeah, Lamar is a very resilient person. I think he's going to come out firing in this game. He's really going to...
Willie Snead needs to pop off again.
Yeah, he's going to really have to play out of his mind for this one. The Titans have dropped a couple games since they started the year undefeated, and honestly so have the Ravens. But this game really matters for both teams. Who's coming out on top in this one?
Ravens. I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Logically,
I'm thinking Titans, but I think Lamar will be like, yo, the ball, catch the ball. Yo, I run the ball. I'm the running back for today.
I think Lamar, this game is actually going to, you know, make sure that his players catch the ball instead of last time where his players did not catch the ball.
I think this game will be more popular than the Super Bowl.
You think so?
It's an interesting take, but
really hyping up this game. And on Thursday Night Football, the Arizona Cardinals.
Wait, that's tonight.
That is tonight.
Wait, today's Thursday?
Today is
already.
Thursday. It's a green
now
day, and it's Thursday. And today, the Seattle Seahawks will be facing off against the Arizona Cardinals. Last week, the Cardinals defeated the Bills on a Hail Mary catch, DeAndre Hopkins.
Or as we call him, D-Hop.
From Kyler
that's
Murray
for DeAndre
to
Hopkins.
D-Hop. And the rest is history with that one, I guess. First Hail Mary, I believe, since 2015, maybe. First completed Hail Mary since 2015. So
versus
definitely.
The Cardinals. How do they define
a Hail Mary?
What's the official rule book definition for a Hail Mary?
I don't think just a really long throw.
But how
I
long
guess.
Is really long?
Probably
well,
like 30 plus, 35 plus.
It's got to be like 35
and
plus.
And like, do they have to be
and
down?
It has
does
to
it
be like,
to
has to be a last minute play. Like a
it
last
to be
minute
like,
play.
Last 15 seconds.
Oh, no.
Like
somebody needs to define Hail Mary.
Last three plays of the
but,
game.
That's
AP
neither here nor there.
Defining the terms. Be like,
yeah.
And one thing I do want to urge all of our viewers, listeners, please register to vote. please vote. The Pro Bowl is coming up, and it is your civic duty to vote. It is your right, and you should
These are your leaders. You don't want to vote for the wrong person.
Yeah, you don't want to vote. You don't want to put the wrong
person. Like
the Jaguars
fans are voting for Yannick Ngakoue.
You don't want to give the wrong person a job because we know what happens when that happens.
I'm not going to tell
Z'Darrius
you to vote
Smith
for.
Complains on Twitter about getting snubbed for
Remember,
Khalil Mack.
I'm not going to tell you to vote for, but vote blue. That's what I did. I voted for all the Giants players.
Yes. Vote blue, no matter who, baby. All right. So we talked about the NFL and NBA. We talked about the NFL, but what else is coming up? None other than Thanksgiving, America's favorite holiday.
Isn't there football on Thanksgiving?
There is football, on Thanksgiving. There's always football on Thanksgiving.
Every year.
And I think the NBA trying to capitalize on Christmas. Honestly, hot take, which separate from topic of the week, this is just a hot take. NBA Christmas, better than Thanksgiving football in recent years.
Get out. Okay.
The door over there?
Yeah, the door. The
Get Out. I haven't seen it. Is it good?
I haven't seen it either.
Who's playing?
I can't see.
The Texans will be facing the Lions in an underwhelming matchup. The Washington football team will be facing Dallas Cowboys in an underwhelming matchup. And the Ravens will be facing the Steelers in what is probably
a pretty whelming. I'm pretty whelmed with that matchup.
Yeah, I mean
that sounds like
that makes up for
I'm pretty whelmed.
That makes up for
that's
the other
reference to
it's a very
hit show Young
That's a pretty whelming matchup.
Sheldon?
But honestly, that's the only good matchup that is going on this year in Thanksgiving football. Yeah,
so
the NBA always has high quality matchups on Christmas.
You should probably watch
The Door.
You should probably watch a Thanksgiving movie this year, like, you know, the hit movie Free Birds.
I don't know what to say about that.
Or Free Birds
2. Moving forward, hopefully. Escape topic of the week. Topic of the week, Christian.
Topic of the week. The best Thanksgiving side. I know everyone does different things for Thanksgiving, but there's pretty much a rotation of a couple of items that most people do. So, for me, I got to go with either stuffing, which for me is a side. I know some people put it in the turkey, but
don't
our family
put that in the turkey.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, people do put it in.
Some
the turkey. Stuff the turkey.
For me, it's either the stuffing, or the sweet potatoes with the marshmallow on top.
If you don't have the marshmallows,
they both.
It's okay.
The marshmallows are crucial.
They provide a sweet and savory foil to one another, and I honestly think they're both equal. And I think that they both deserve an equal share on the plate, right next to that big old slice of the bird.
Some would say free bird.
Well, they're not free because they're
Matt,
in my belly.
Best Thanksgiving side, Matthew.
Sweet potatoes. It's not even a competition.
With marshmallow on top.
It has to be marshmallow on top.
And you know why it is?
Why?
Because it's yummy.
Color orange.
And they're yummy.
And they're yummy.
I do eat sweet potatoes quite frequently outside of Thanksgiving. They are pretty good.
Also, solid dessert for Thanksgiving, pumpkin pie.
Why isn't the sweet potato with the marshmallow a dessert?
Because
like
it just is a perfect side.
Because it's potatoes, people, because of its nature as a potato and thereby a vegetable, I believe, then people really put it into the category. Yeah, put it into the category of a meal because you're not going to have you're going to have vegetables for a dessert? That's heresy. You're not going to have vegetables.
Sweet potato pie and this carrot cake.
Hmm. Well, carrot cake, cake.
You can leave.
I've never had carrot cake.
Yeah. Me neither, actually.
I've never had. Actually, I think I did once. Hmm. I don't remember what it tastes like.
My go-to Thanksgiving side probably gonna have to be mashed potatoes. Yeah, I heard all the chirping before. This is basic. Yeah, I know. But
unpopular opinion, I don't really like mashed potatoes.
Mashed
I have to
potatoes,
drown them in
I like
gravy.
Nothing,
I have to drown them in gravy for them to taste good.
They're too dry.
I have just to
they
drown
can
them
be
in
dry
gravy.
Sometimes, but
it won't go by.
But if they're hot, if they're like hot,
fry,
just
I'll die for them. Because they taste good.
You're a poet and you don't even know it.
They call me Edgar Allan Poe, except for, like, you know, the thing with his 13-year-old cousin.
And they didn't name the Baltimore Ravens after
They did
you.
Name the Baltimore Ravens after Edgar Allan Poe.
One thing about, mashed potatoes, I end up putting so much gravy on them that all I'm tasting is the gravy. And then I'm like, you know what? Why didn't I just drink the gravy? Because
you
honestly
can't just drink
have been
gravy.
It would have been more convenient.
Mashed potatoes are good without.
Little,
you can do mashed potatoes without
fan.
Gravy. Well, you can't eat mashed potatoes straight up. They're just
you know,
they
you
complement
can do gravy. Sweet potatoes.
They comp
That's
mashed
true.
Potatoes complement almost
potatoes
everything.
Are good.
So I'm gonna have to give it the number one spot.
Okay. You guys eat turkey plain or just have to have gravy? I do
gravy.
Like turkey plain.
You got? I think you gotta like
gravy.
I think you gotta put gravy. Like turkey
words,
plain. Turkey plain, very good.
In the words
but turkey
of Young
with gravy, very good.
In the words of Young Gravy.
Gravy.
That's the words of Young Gravy.
That's the words of Young Gravy.
Constantine's
noted
idol.
Rapper.
You want to do a worst Thanksgiving side?
I don't hate
any Thanksgiving sides, I don't think.
Yeah. Least.
Do you guys want to do dessert real quick?
My mom found a fire recipe for Brussels sprouts the other day that she made for dinner. Shout out Mrs. Selmayr. Made out a very good Brussels sprouts recipe. Roasted.
Talk to your Selmayr.
Roasted in the oven with olive oil with some Dijon mustard, salt and pepper, and some other spices. It was very good. What?
Yes.
What did I say?
No, the Dijon mustard. Like, the, you know, the funny video. He gets it, guys. I'm not crazy.
You sure?
Christian, do you get it?
I get it.
I think that about wraps it up for today. We will not be having a podcast next week. We'll be out for Thanksgiving.
Is there anything on next Thursday?
I think Thanksgiving.
There's three football games.
Thursday night.
There's three football games.
I think we can make time for a podcast in between the football games.
Yeah, Constantine, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't think we can.
Wait.
Because I'm going to be watching what is inferior in
it's
every possible way.
It's Disney XD right now.
6 a.m. podcast.
The 6 a.m. podcast, yes. So we don't miss it.
Yeah, so no excuses, guys. To our viewers, we put everything on the line to get this out for you. We cross barriers. We go into the most dangerous of places to get the most accurate reporting for you guys. We, you know, we almost died on our way to school today getting this podcast filmed. So just know the lengths we go.
I mean, last time we had a podcast filmed. We don't want to talk about that.
No,
we're getting a little silly. I think we need to end this.
You silly? Let's go.
Sports are temporary. The podcast, however, is eternal. We'd like to thank Mr. Doxy, Mr. Rashudi, Dr. Catapano, the administration, the class of 2016 for their generous donation to this podcast setup. The grind is eternal. I'm Constantine Lambridis, Christian Selmayr, Matthew Pastier. See ya.
Wash your hands. Bye, Doug.
LMAO.